few weeks ago that exposed the leaders of the big oil companies, whose scientists were warning of global warming 50 years ago, but who followed over several decades a path of denial, doubt, and delay. Well, the 6th and 7th century BC seem very remote from our present day. Yet we're told that those who don't learn from history are condemned to repeat it. So I'm bold enough this morning to read that soundbite from Jeremiah and what the prophet was about in his day and generation as an invitation for us not only to enter his world, but to compare it to our own. It's pretty difficult to read Jeremiah without seeing a lot of parallels with today. First, a brief introduction to the geopolitics of the 7th century BC. The 10 tribes of Israel had been overthrown by Assyria about 100-120 years before the incidents that Jeremiah is speaking about had happened. The last remaining independent tribe, Judah, had become embroiled at the time that Judah was prophesying in the competing superpowers of the time. Assyria was in the decline, Babylon was in the ascendancy, and in order to kind of protect themselves, they went into a rather unsatisfactory pact with Egypt. You might want to think of the comparison with Ukraine, squeezed between Russia and the West, or perhaps Taiwan's precarious position between China and the United States of America. Jeremiah watched as his world was dying, and he grieved deeply for what was taking place around him. What disturbs Jeremiah in this passage that we had read for us is that the false prophets were communicating hope. They were offering some kind of way out, some assurance that it wouldn't be as bad as it seemed to become, or as it seemed to be becoming. Of course, we know that they were in the pay of the ruling elite of the time. And what pained Jeremiah so much was the failure of his contemporaries either to notice or to ignore what was really going on. Were they so stupid not to understand? Or were they so dishonest that they did understand, like the big oil companies, but they were involved in a huge cover-up? Jeremiah's words cut through all of that crap. He indicts his people and he calls them stupid children. He indicts them for their stubbornness and their unwillingness to see what was going on around them. He lets the people know that the situation that they are in is dire. And because they have ignored God's ways, God isn't about to get them out of trouble. They're going to be swallowed up in the expansionist aims of Babylon. This is inevitable, and God will not intervene to stop them. This is an unpleasant message for God's people. Jeremiah is saying it's too late. The broken pot cannot be repaired. Their situation is beyond repair. Their wounds cannot be healed. There is no cure for their sickness. Well, there's no doubt that their world was collapsing. And it was because of their idolatry and the exploitation and corruption that was present amongst them. Jeremiah is quite clear that the destruction that's about to come upon them is not of God's doing. It's not a punishment from God, just as much as our present circumstances are not a punishment by God. But our world as we know it, and the world of the people of Jeremiah's time, is coming to an end. It's a consequence of the way the people have lived. We've already passed the date this year when humanity will have used up all the resources of the earth, the resources that will never be replenished in our future. For the remaining 5 months of this year, we will as a planet be consuming resources from our earth that will never be replaced. And we know in our hearts that we cannot go on like this. Sometimes we're told it's not really too late, perhaps, if. But our leaders on all sides lack the political will to be able to take the kind of drastic steps that are necessary to recover from this path to destruction on which we find ourselves. Why? Perhaps because they don't believe that they can bring the people along with them. And so we live in a day of political compromise that is just nudging the world further forward, but into greater and greater trouble. We're trapped in our own mindset in some way. We don't know what's going on, or we choose not to understand it. Gregory Bateson, the renowned anthropologist, has said, "The major problems in the world are the result of the difference between the way the world is and the way we think about it." That's quite a profound statement. We need prophets in our day that are like Jeremiah, that will really tell us what is going on and what the future is to be. I think we're, to some extent, bewitched by our own success. For the last few hundred years, we've tamed the wilderness. We've lifted the standard of living for so many people, and many people are living today that otherwise would not have lived and flourished. And that success gives us the feeling that we're on the right path. We're convinced, of course, at the same time, that we have to go it alone. We're on our own in the universe. And whatever problems we face, we have to resolve them ourselves. We have to lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps. It's depending upon our own ingenuity and power to get us out of this trouble. But whenever we do interfere in some way in an attempt to avert the disaster, it seems sometimes we just accentuate the problems. The longer we struggle with these kind of dilemmas, the more painful will be the consequences in the future. Well, Jeremiah watched the world disintegrating around him, and he felt deeply the pain of that loss. What was disturbing to Jeremiah is that the prophet's false hopes would give no possibility for a future. Jeremiah had nightmares. He lived constantly with a wrenching in his stomach and heart palpitations over the frustration of the fact that the people were ignoring the circumstances in which they found themselves. And although he tells them about the impending doom, in his grief, he still clings on to God. Though he tells the people that their wounds will not be healed, that their condition is beyond repair, that there is no cure for their sickness, he goes on to tell them and offer them hope. And it's hope that grows in the soil of grief. See, the difference is the false prophets are in denial. They have too much invested in the present system. They continue to peddle the lie that in the end it'll all be okay, that our science and technology will find a solution. But the denial and the sweet talk and the empty promises only keep us on the path to destruction. In 587 BC, disaster struck, as Jeremiah said it would. God didn't interfere. He let the forces of geopolitics run its course. The temple was destroyed. Jerusalem was laid in ruin. And the majority of the people of that time were taken into exile. But as Jeremiah wanted them to hear, God had not abandoned them, even in those circumstances. God still loved his people. As we're assured in the New Testament, God so loves the world. God is always loving his creation. But he grieves for what we have done with it and for the abysmal shape that his creation is in. But always he's ready to begin again, to make a fresh start. He will bring his people back together in a new world order. And that's the hope. If we can learn anything from Jeremiah, we must stop listening to the leaders who deceive themselves and us by pretending that there's nothing fundamentally wrong with the way we live, that the present circumstances will pass. They blind us with statistics and they present us with charts. They're pretty good at press conferences. They believe their own propaganda. These people are not bad people. They just do not know how to interpret the present time. And so they mislead us. As Jesus said to the leaders of his time, when you see the south wind blowing, you say it'll be a scorching heat. And as we know, it certainly is. You hypocrites, he said, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and the sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? There are far too many promised voices, promising solutions around us, false promises that are going to fail. We fall for them because we want some reassurance. We know things are pretty bad, but we know we want in the end to be told it's all going to be okay. And we're easily duped. We allow ourselves to believe a lie that human progress will go on forever. There comes a time in human history when the old order must be abandoned by force if it is necessary. In the present time, we need a true prophet who will grieve for our global predicament and who will be able to awaken our imagination with a new vision of true partnership between ourselves and the natural order and harmony amongst the peoples of the earth, empowered by the presence and active involvement of the Holy Spirit. How much pain do we have to suffer? How much grief do we have to feel before all of that happens? Well, in the cut and thrust of geopolitics of Jeremiah's day, and I suggest even today, God does not interfere. He does not take sides. It is actually his desire that all parties in the scramble for dominance will, in one way or another, find their efforts in vain. And our world as it is presently organized will be dismantled. And for a lot of people, that will mean exile. In the short term, there'll be cycles of recession, there'll be suffering, there'll be conflict, there will be hardship. Yet in the long term, God will not abandon his creation or his people. There is coming a new world order in which we will live at peace. We cannot tell what it'll look like, and we certainly have no idea of the timescale. So my invitation from these passages in our readings today is that as we sit in front of our television screens this winter, and we witness stories of extreme hardship and devastation, and listen to the frantic attempt to find a fix, just remember Jeremiah. Our response as Christians is not to protest or to vent our anger, but to grieve for God's world and to give voice to our grief. Because if we remain silent, there is no true prophet that's heard by the world. We have so little experience in voicing our grief, but it's part of our discipleship. Remember these words of Jesus. Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. There will be joy in the morning for those who are prepared to let go of the old ways of doing things and open ourselves to the new way that God invites us into. After Jeremiah has told the people that their wounds will not heal, he goes on to tell them that God will bring healing in his time. Chapter 30, he says this, I will cause new skin to grow and heal your wounds. A new beginning cannot be built on the crumbling foundations of the old. It will not happen by preventing the devastation, but by a new way that will emerge after the devastation. In other words, that are very familiar to us, as we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, we need not fear, for God is with us. This is the hope of the resurrection. In the title of a book by Tom Wright, the former Bishop of Durham, as the world falls apart around us, we long for prophets who will tell us the truth, and in their words, we will be surprised by hope. Amen.